three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Friday morning. Well, it will come out Friday morning at about 7:30 a.m., and I hope you enjoy it. Going to really fly through this one. Got a couple of odd thoughts. It's been a strange time. Christmas, New Year's, been a couple of games. I tried to watch that Brisbane-Cairns absolute smattering with fights and a terrible effort from the Bullets. Let's put that to one side before we launch into these sort of hodgepodge of topics. Firstly, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Secondly, if you're in Perth later this month, come and see the Wildcats and the Jack Jumpers live in a movie theatre. We've only got about 20 tickets left. This is a live event to see that game, which is shaping up to be a pretty big game, a game of real consequence as far as the top six, maybe top four, more likely top six goes. You can come watch that game, and then afterwards, the Sports Blokes, NBL Pocket Pod, Nick Tan, Full Court Fitness, Adam Westerhelp. It's all happening. They're all there. They're going to record stuff. I'm going to try and come over video wave. We'll see what we can do. But very exciting. But more than anything, the game. Tickets are reasonable. Link in the description. If you're in WA, you should definitely go. And then thirdly, Patreon. If you're listening to the show and have listening for a while and like it, become a patron. The link is also in the description. That would be very helpful. Before anything else, topics. Let's get into it. Ty Webster. The state of Brisbane, speaking of the 36ers, Christmas Day TV ratings, and Unrivaled, the documentary, plus the NBL Pocket Podcast game of the round, even though it's halfway through. I'm going to nominate mine. As you may have guessed, Andrew's not here. It's a busy time. He'll be back. Don't worry. But let's jump into it. Ty Webster, he signed with the Wildcats. Did we see this coming? Not really. But let's do the good and the bad. The good, he can score and is healthy. Whereas Mitch Norton is not, seemingly, and is second bottom in PER on the Wildcats, 77th in PER of the top 100 players in the league in field goal percentage. He's just looking like a Gleeson relic. The team's identity has changed. Perth doesn't defend anymore. It doesn't rebound. They're a scoring team, and he has found it hard to adjust, as has Blanchfield too. The Wildcats, they either can't address or won't address their defense and rebounding, and it just seems they've swung the other way and are trying to score more. And if that's their objective, Ty Webster helps them accomplish that. For sure. Here's my worry. Late game situations. Will the two Websters defer to the higher percentage player in Bryce Cotton? Really tough question. We've seen Webster, I say not defer to Cotton, but still scored a pretty high clip. What happens when it's the both of them? That's on John Riley to identify and enforce. Also, if you're out there, go and have a look at that box score from the close loss to New Zealand. Pretty good game for the Wildcats. They travelled all the way over to New Zealand. That's the longest travel in, I think, professional sports. Maybe there's rugby that's a bigger travel. That's a huge accomplishment. They went over there, still put up points, but really has culled his rotation. Outside of two guys off the... I mean, Blanchfield barely played. Wagstaff barely played. There's very few guys who did. Norton was one of them. And it'll be very interesting to see his minutes once Webster joins the squad. Can't help but feel bad for Corey Sherville. Had something under Gleeson, and now with the regime change, he's out the door. Still a training player, but if you're not on the roster, it's a gut punch. Must hurt. Feel bad for him. And at the pro level, it's really not about aptitude or output or potential sometimes. It's about who's got your back. And the new regime doesn't seem to have his back for whatever reason. Maybe injuries are worse than we thought. But, you know, you're better off being a worse employer with an employer who thinks you're good. Too bad for Sherville. Feel bad for him. Moving on, state of Brisbane. They played so poorly against Cairns. They didn't seem to care. I know they got into a fight, but that's fake effort. Anyone can get into a fight. The real test of a team is who's willing to, you know, put their head down for 40 minutes, listen to the scout, follow it through, play for each other. And that don't do that. They don't care. I do want to say this, though, and it kind of lends itself to the Corey Sherville conversation. Drimmick. Anthony Drimmick. I think he's playing really well in Adelaide. And here's why I say that. 21 PER in wins, 10 PER in losses. When Drimmick plays well, they play well. Ian Clark reinforces that. On the bad nights from Drimmick, you're going to see Clark. But going back to Drimmick, 58% effective field goal percentage, up from 49% last season. And then 16 PER, up from 11 overall for Drimmick. So he's gone from in Brisbane, a bad player, to in Adelaide, a really quite a good player and an impactful one. And that's what a regime change can do. And we've seen how bad Brisbane are post-Lemanis. And then let's look at someone else, Harry Frohling. Last season, 14.6 PER, 59 effective field goal percentage. This season, 12.4, 52. Not huge drops, but he's not as impactful. The team's bad. And that's just the thing. Harry Frohling, you might remember a couple of years ago, I had Joey Wright, Adelaide, had a really good season and then dropped off the year they had culture issues. This is the thing. You know, these teams, that the NBL does an incredible job of protecting its players and locker rooms. You never hear about this stuff, but it so affects a player's career and how they manage. And, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Staying positive, though, Drimmick's been good. Sneaky most improved candidate. He's not going to get it. I think that's certainly going to go to Keanu Pindo's jump from rotation player to MVP candidate. I will say, with Adelaide, the choke to Cairns was perplexing. This has gone back a bit, but people on Twitter were very critical of CJ Bruton and his slim playbook. I don't see it. Yeah, Ian Clark was on the court aplenty. They just choked. And good teams don't choke. But Adelaide aren't a good team. They're a top six flutter. And they've done nothing to change my mind about that. Speaking of 36ers, Andrew Bogut has taken a shot at the Sixers' spend, sort of. Comments were a little bit lame. Another sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge between owners. I got to hand it to Adam Ford, coach of Cairns Taipans. He's the only guy in the NBL really willing to call out people by name on the floor. Yeah, owners and teams and da, 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 and other commentators and just, you know, the blanket statement of all the media said this. Adam Ford will actually say, oh, you know, Peatling put his foot under that guy and Tucker gave him a... He'll name a guy on the floor. Do you know how rare that is? It takes real balls. I commend him. My advice, the owner sort of shish talk, best left to that owner's WhatsApp group. You know, whatever. Christmas Day ratings. I really want to talk about this. And these ratings you can kind of check out for yourself at tvblackbox.com.au. You can actually look at all free-to-air and Foxtel ratings on there. It's public knowledge. Side note to note, on the 28th of December, BBL in primetime lost out to a repeat of Travel Guides. Why I bring this up is it's sort of an indictment of sport in general in primetime, which is actually not when the NBL played. I think the NBL played in the early afternoon on Christmas Day. But if we're talking about the growth of the NBL, the fact that BBL, a really good product, has performed poorly in primetime, and most Australian people would prefer to watch a repeat of the Travel Guides, you know, just a fun show about people and places, than watch sport, it just shows the zeitgeist is trending away from sport in prime time, maybe exclusively prime time, maybe worse. But yeah, I mean, I've sort of really keep an eye on TV. The owner of Netflix has come out and said, was asked the question, why aren't you getting involved in sports streaming? And he basically just said, because we like making money, which was a gross condemnation of sports going on to streaming services. And then just sports, you know, as an entertainment product in general. Let's get back to the NBL though. That's something to chew on. So 35,000 watched on Foxtel. That was third on the day. The game did not crack the top 20 on free-to-air. That would probably be considered a, I wouldn't say a failure, but certainly a slight or not as good. Note that the 7 News on that day, on Christmas Day, got about 500,000, which is about half of what it normally does on a normal TV day. What looks bad, though, is that Channel 10... that showed the NBL only had a 10% share of viewership, placing it just fractionally above the SBS, 8.2% in fourth place. What I mean by that is that, okay, let's say the number on free-to-air was low, but maybe the numbers were low across the board. The question is, did people, when they got on Channel 10 and saw the NBL, did they stay? This number would suggest they didn't, or at least Channel 10 is a bad conduit for the NBL because there's just not the people watching it in the first place. But you know, Channel 7 and 9 had about 30% of the viewership, ABC about 20, and then you know, Channel 10, a mainstay channel, was performing, as well as SBS, which is sort of a commissioned government sort of channel. And then, you know, those minor channels, 10 Peach, 7 Fruit Loop, 9 Doormat, whatever they're called these days. Bad sign. So Paul Smith and Andrew Bogut, to my eye, they're the ones who really push this, and fair play to them. They're kind of chasing a dead day of TV viewership. If they're serious about, I think the idea that they like the idea of doing something new on Christmas. It hadn't been done. But all the numbers tell me it's not something terribly worth chasing. The viewership is low, and maybe that's the strategy. It's very low-hanging fruit, but this is a day that people are not watching TV. So to lust for it and chase for it, to me, is peculiar. My direction would be different. Not everyone's watching basketball on Christmas Day. However, everyone's carrying a phone in their pocket with YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, whatever else. KO. My thought would be get on those services. Everyone has the YouTube app. Reinforce showing your product there rather on some arbitrary day that most people are too busy and not watching TV full stop. Why are we lusting for this? Why are we chasing it? The numbers tell me to do the complete opposite. I don't get what these older thinking, this is older thinking, you know, the way older thinking Australians think about the worth of free-to-air TV, I'm not getting it. I think doing the Christmas Day and being original was a slight boost to the ego, but not smart business. As I said, low-hanging fruit, but I hope that chasing a day, an arbitrary day that has low viewership, I hope that's not the limit of their vision for their team and the league. Moving on, Unrivaled, the documentary, really good episode. I watched parts of it. I really was only there for the Craig Randall stuff. I skipped over the Kai Sotto stuff, and I'm sure that's very entertaining, but just not what I'm after. Amazing production polish by Apache Media. They don't have a huge internet presence. I don't think they have a YouTube account or even maybe Instagram, Twitter, not sure. If they do, it's very small, but this was really polished. However, I had to think, if Randall was a client of, say, the biggest agent in the NBL, the Moldovan brothers, there is no way that the footage of him on the sideline would have seen the light of the day. And that is a tip of the cap to Moldovan & Co. It's also a condemnation of the current agent. How it damages things. What it also tells me is that the NBL, the 36ers, I think LK Media Group, who make it, they're willing to test or perhaps even burn the relationship with the agent Daniel Curtin of Beyond Athlete Management, is what I've got written here, who outside of Jalen Adams seemingly has little reach over here. That's the only NBL talent he's got on, RealGM.com. Maybe he's got more. That's a pretty unreliable site. But, I just thought to not get that embargoed. And people sort of criticize the NBL media for being lightweight and things. There's more at play. So many times people would love to write something and the agent comes across and goes, if you even think about printing that, you'll never speak to another player again, and it's done. But this one slipped through the cracks. I thought they did it pretty tastefully. It wasn't terribly explosive. There was fights during the Brit Blitz that maybe footage didn't exist, or it did and it was kiboshed. Nonetheless, it was quite good to watch. And I just thought it was a good, polished product that the target audience of the NBL, kids between 13 and 20, young to early 20s, would have really enjoyed. So tip of the cap to them. But I couldn't help but think, I mean, where we want to see cameras is in Brisbane's locker room, right? But unfortunately, most of their clients are with the super agent, so we don't see it. I mean, Baines, Sobey, you know, I'd love to see what's going on there, but embargo, sadly, never going to happen. So put those storylines in the toilet and hit flush. Never going to happen. Moving on, and as I said, very short episode, NBL Pocket Podcast, game of the round for round 14. For me, I'm the only one here. For me, it's January 8th. So that's 2 days from now. So that's Saturday, Sunday at 2 o'clock, seemingly on 10 Peach. Hopefully it rates. 2 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Adelaide are hosting New Zealand Breakers. Adelaide are scarred. They're bruised after choking. And New Zealand are coming off a win over Perth. Quite a good one, but didn't play the defense they probably would have liked. Team that doesn't play defense, team that does. One on the second of a back-to-back. I've never really thought second of a back-to-back matters hugely in the NBL. Some teams kind of get a roll. So that'd be good. And I want to keep a close eye on Sunday Dech. Didn't play particularly well in that choke game against Cairns. Sans Pinder. Will he fall by the wayside in the final minutes? I'll be keeping a close eye on that. But that's my game of the round. And that really is all I've got for you. And I'll leave you with a final word of those tickets. Perth Wildcats Jack Jumpers in Tasmania. If you're in WA, certainly if you're in Perth, but maybe even WA a little further afield, buy a ticket, come and check it out. It's just going to be fun. It's going to be a nice meet and greet. Andrew's going to be there. All the lads from the podcast stuff. You know, if you've got a question, you want to start your own podcast about gardening, basketball, cricket, golf, cane baskets, wood whittling, woodwork, whatever it is, come, we'll teach you everything we know. It's not worth a lot, but we'll teach you nonetheless. And who knows, you know? So it's not just about basketball. It's about having a nice meet and greet. And I'll do my darndest to be there. Looking unlikely, but I'll be there in some way, shape or form. Maybe even just spiritually. Thanks very much, everyone. That's the end of this episode. And we'll be back, Andrew and I, presumably next week sometime. And we'll put out an episode that's a lot better than this. Thanks very much. Bye.